Let's pray and we get right into the word. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the price he paid on the cross, the blood that was shed, that gives us the opportunity to do what we're doing this morning. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. You're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. So we yield to you. Holy Spirit, touch our eyes, touch our ears, and touch our hearts, our souls, so that we can see, hear, and understand this unseen world. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you about the secret of maturity. All right, we're going to deal with the secret of maturity. I want to start off in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, very familiar scripture. Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. This is the Apostle Paul talking. And Apostle Paul is saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's three things that I want you to pull out of these three scriptures. Three main things. Number one, you got to be a living sacrifice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Living sacrifice as compared to a dead sacrifice. Most sacrifices we've known or have we've been experienced is dead or dead. But here the Apostle Paul talked to us about being a living sacrifice. So we are sacrificed while we are alive. So that means there is something that we have to decide to give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir.
In order to be in God's will. Second verse. We must yield our thoughts to God. I'm giving you the secrets of maturity. We must yield our thoughts to God. Without yielding our thoughts to God, it is impossible for us to become, watch this, listen to what I'm about to say, to become aware of the will of God. There's a word in that second verse that we gloss over, that word prove. That word prove means to recognize. So the only way we're going to recognize or become aware of the word of God is by continually to recondition our thinking. Other words, as ministers, as preachers of the gospels, as pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles and prophets, we're going to have to not be controlled by mass mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God is, watch this, one thing God is not going to do. Mm-hmm. God is not going to compromise for us. God is not going to compromise what he has planned, what he has designed, what he wants to come to pass. He's not going to compromise for us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So we have to adjust our will to his.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And in order for that to happen, the third thing in that third scripture is going to take place. You can't think of yourself more highly than you should. You can't think of you. That's ego. You can't think of yourself more highly than you should. So living sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Yielding my thoughts to God. Getting rid of my ego. All right. The church, because of not wanting to be a living sacrifice, allowing mass mind to take us over, and allowing our anointings, watch this, trying to allow our anointings override our grace.
Ooh, wow.
trying to let our anointings override our grace. Go with me to Joshua, the first chapter. That was a powerful statement. Notice what I said. Trying to allow our anointings to override our grace. I'm going to give you the secrets to maturity. It's very simple, but the reason why most of the body of Christ are not maturing is because we preachers are not maturing.
Yes, sir.
Because we think maturing is based on how long we've been with God, how much we know about God, and how much we have done for God.
Yeah.
All
right. Good statement. Yes, sir.
Joshua, the first chapter. Let me get there. Joshua, the first chapter. Well, actually, go to Joshua, the sixth chapter. I want you to see something first, because here we are as leaders in the body of Christ. We got to have vision. We got to be able to see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Must. You can't lead nobody to a place you can't see.
Yes, sir.
So that means that the Holy Spirit and God our Father have to put us in a position sometimes to see places we haven't been yet physically. There's a secret to that happening, and we're about to learn it.
Yes, sir.
Joshua, the sixth chapter, watch this. In verse 2, look at verse 1. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in, right? And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, that first verse said it was strictly shut up. Nobody was going in Jericho. Nobody was coming out. And God told Joshua to see.
Yes, sir.
I've given you Jericho. Now, the question is, here's the question that we fail to ask. How was Joshua able to see?
Come on, sir.
What did Joshua do to be able to cause him to see that Jericho was his? He had never been, watch this. He had never owned Jericho.
Come on,
right. Yes, sir.
Last time he went to Jericho, other people was in authority. Other people controlled Jericho. Mm-hmm. Other powers was overcome in Jericho.
Yeah.
Because he went with the 12 spies. Mm-hmm. We preachers, we know the Bible. He went with the 12 spies. Him and Caleb came back and said something different than the other 10.
Yeah.
So therefore, the other 10 saw a power there that was greater than them, but Joshua didn't see that power.
Right.
Now the question is, why did not Joshua see the same thing the other one saw?
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of us are in ministry. God has called us. God has given us vision, has given us what we're to do. But getting there is going to take maturity.
Yes, sir.
Before I go to go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We come back to Joshua. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's a secret of maturity. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. And he, who is he? Jesus. And Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints.
Yep.
All right? For the maturing of the saints. You can't mature somebody if you're not mature.
Come on, right.
So let's break this down even further. I can't tell nobody how to have a relationship with God.
Right.
If I don't.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell nobody how to fellowship with God if I don't know how.
Right.
Watch this now. I can't tell nobody to operate in a system of seed time and harvest if
I'm not. Yes, sir.
I'm talking to you, leaders.
Yes, sir.
Secret of maturity, I'm talking to you. I can't tell nobody how to get healed and be healed if I.
Talk about it.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because the job of us leaders is to mature the saints. Now, why are we to mature the saints? For them to do the work of the ministry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Why does the work of the ministry have to be done? So the body of Christ can be built, edified.
Right. Yes, sir.
So if we don't mature, now, I told you one of the things you have to do, we got to be a living sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
We got to give up some things that we want to do in order to be in the will of God. That's just bottom line. Ain't no way around that. We got to sacrifice some stuff.
Right.
Second thing we have to do is we have to yield our thoughts to God. When we yield our thoughts to God, it makes it easier for us to become aware or recognize what God is moving.
Yes, sir.
Third thing is we got to get rid of our egos. So that we can mature, so that we can lead others to maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Right.
Go back to Joshua, the sixth chapter. Mm-hmm. See, first thing of maturity is us pastors, those that are pastoring churches, one thing that's going to give us maturity is we must understand, we must realize where we are, realize when God is doing something different, and yield to it. If you notice, we're going back to Joshua, the sixth chapter, but if you notice in the 12th verse, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Now, we have been trying to do those three things with three offices. Now, if we could have accomplished doing those three things with those three, with just three offices, what offices I'm talking about? I'm talking about the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Most of us don't know what an apostle is, what an apostle is supposed to do, or what a prophet is supposed to do. And these Western Hemisphere prophets.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
Uh-huh. That's all I'm gonna say about that one. So if Jesus gave us five offices, or let me say it like this. If Jesus gave us those five different graces to accomplish those three things, what in the world, what makes you think, why in the world you think that we're going to accomplish those three things with just three graces? So the first sign of maturity is I got to be a living sacrifice. I got to be willing to give up this old paradigm of ministry.
Yes, sir.
Second thing I need to do is yield my thoughts to God.
That's right.
So I can recognize what changes God is making.
Yes, sir.
Because there are changes happening in the body of Christ. See, God is not going to compromise for us. God ain't gonna just do things anyway.
Right.
We have to be in direct line with his will.
Right. Yes, sir.
Third thing is we got to get rid of our egos. Mm-hmm. Recognize that as pastors in this 21st century ministry that we've created, we've hit a brick wall.
God.
let's add it up to it. Mm-hmm. Let's add it up to it. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. Let's not dance around this. But there are changes, great changes, exciting changes, God-ordained changes that are happening in the body of Christ. Because without the apostolic, even you'll find that the apostles, without apostles, there can be no divine order.
Yeah, all right.
We've just experienced it in our country of things out of order.
Yes, sir.
Because we have not allowed the five to work together. We only want to do it with three. And one four won't think they run the other three.
Come on, man.
And we're not even paying attention to divine order.
Right.
Wow.
One thing you must understand about a prophet, if a prophet is not connected to an apostle, he or she may see some things, but if they don't understand the agenda of God, which comes from an apostle, they will speak things out of order.
Yes, sir. Come on, doctor. Yes, sir.
Come on, Jones.
We have to work together. We have to have the culture of honor. We have to be living sacrifices. We have to, all of us have to yield our thoughts to God, and we have to get rid of our egos.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In LTMA, that's why in LTMA we have no competition.
That's right.
All of us are for the agenda of God. Now, I'm about to take it somewhere now. All of us are for the agenda of God. And wherever we fit in the agenda of God, we do it to the best of our anointing. Okay, Holy Spirit. See, y'all, the Apostle Paul rarely talked about anointing. But he always talked about grace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He rarely talked about anointing, but he always talked about grace. Uh-huh. See, we have emphasized the anointing at the expense of grace.
Come on. Yes, sir.
What's the difference? The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Uh-huh. We are anointed. Everybody's anointed. Watch this, how I know that. If you're born again, you are anointed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But the question is, have you been empowered to use that anointing?
Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
Grace is God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
Grace is God's sovereignty. Grace is God's empowerment. All through the New Testament, grace, wherever you see the word grace, it will never change its definition. Mm-hmm. Whatever scenario grace is used in, it will always keep the same meaning, to be empowered.
Yes, sir.
So in the body of Christ, we have people that are trying to use their anointings in place they haven't been graced.
Come on.
We're trying to use our anointing in which is out of order. Use our yoke-destroying, burden-removing power in a place for which we haven't been authorized or empowered to be.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Because of the lack of maturity. Mm-hmm. If we, the leaders, don't mature, the saints are doomed.
Yep.
Go back to Joshua 6th chapter. Here we go. So Joshua C. What the question is now, the question we left in Joshua 6 that we're coming back to is, why was Joshua able to see?
Right. Yes, sir.
Why was Joshua able to see Jericho with his, even though other people owned it?
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
All right, watch this. It all begins back in Joshua, the first chapter. Go back to Joshua 1. Excuse me. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot tread upon shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Yes, sir.
Let me see something. Look at verse 1, because I need to establish a fact here. Because I like to use the word of God to establish facts so we know where we are when I say things.
Yes,
it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that who?
The Lord.
The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, right?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go to verse 3. So who's talking in verse 3? The Lord. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, and for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7 is important. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, let's think about what's happening here. In the first verse, we establish the fact that God is talking to Joshua. Talking about the secret of maturity now. God is talking to Joshua. He told Joshua, I'm going to give you the land that I told Moses I was going to give you. You're going to do this, Joshua. You're going to be able to go into this land. You're going to be able to take over. You're going to do all these great things. But then God said, but you're going to do what Moses said. Let's figure this out now. This don't make no sense. Talking about maturity now. This don't make no sense. What is God doing? He's talking to me. He's talking to me. But he's telling me I got to do what Moses say do. See, we got to understand this side, this secret of maturity. Here it is. God is talking to Joshua, telling Joshua, do what Moses said do. Now, the question is, why didn't God tell Joshua himself? Why did not God, he was there, wasn't he?
Come on,
wasn't he there? He was there. He was talking to him. But he said, do what Moses said do. Matter of fact, let's watch this. Watch what he said. Look at that B part, that 7th verse. He said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then God wasn't finished. He wasn't finished. He said in the 8th verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thee prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. He said, he didn't say a book. He said this book, meaning a specific reference. Reference to who? The book that Moses gave him.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's the importance of that? Here's one of the secrets of maturity. What's the importance of that? Moses embodied the agenda of God. Moses embodied the agenda of God. And in order for Joshua to do what he did in the 6th chapter, began what God told him to do in the 1st chapter. So if Joshua had not meditated what Moses has said, he wouldn't have been in a position to do what God told him to do in the 6th chapter.
Yes, sir.
That's good, sir.
So this is why we have to have divine order in the body of Christ. That's why I don't believe in no young prophets.
Yes, sir.
Wet behind the ear prophets. Ain't been nowhere. Ain't done nothing. Ain't accomplished nothing. But yet you want to structure order in the body of Christ.
Come on, sir.
That's why I don't believe in all these, watch this, all these unexperienced prophets. No fruit in your life. Come on now.
Yeah.
We got to face this. This is why the body of Christ is facing darkness, and it looked like darkness is taking over. Because we out of order.
Come on, sir.
God told Joshua, do what Moses said to do. Why did God do that? Because Moses, it wasn't about Moses. It was about what Moses was embodied. What God has shown him. What God has spoke to him about. Do you realize most people don't even understand? See, we talk about anointings. But you want grace. You want your grace to show up before your anointing becomes effective. Elijah. Elijah, God told Elijah to do three things. listen to me now. He told Elijah to do three things. One was to go anoint Elisha, a prophet. Now, notice what God said. You read Bible students, you preachers, you know what he said. Anoint Elisha to be a prophet in thy house. And so the word God was telling Elijah to go to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in Elijah's house.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Elijah only did one of those things.
Yep.
He was supposed to anoint Elisha. He was supposed to anoint two different kings.
Yeah.
Ordain them to do what God had wanted to happen in the earth realm.
Yes, sir.
Elijah only did one of those things, and that was to anoint Elijah. Now, if Elijah had not applied pressure to Elisha to hear what he is saying, then Elisha would have done what a lot of us preachers do today. Oh, God can talk to me.
Yep.
God don't know nothing about God's agenda.
Come on, sir.
Don't know what God is up to. Matter of fact, this is why, listen to me. This is why the world system has creeped into the church.
Yep.
It creeped in because if you don't have the agenda of God, or you're not aware of the agenda of God, or you can't recognize the agenda of God. Now, remember, the only way you can recognize the agenda of God is to yield your thoughts to God. And to yield your thoughts to what he's doing. If you can't recognize the agenda of God, if you can't grab hold of the agenda of God, then you got to replace it with something. What you going to replace it with? What you see on the outside of the church.
Yep.
So that's why we starting to look like the world system. That's why we starting to preach like we in clubs. That's why we starting to look like we going to the club.
Yes, sir.
Because we figure we have to compromise to win the world.
Come on now.
I'm not fussing. Come on, I'm not fussing. I'm preaching.
Yes, sir. Preach.
Elijah had three things that God specifically told him to do. Now, we know Elijah did a plethora of things.
Right.
But it was three things he specifically told him to do, and two of those three things he did not do. If Elijah had not applied the necessary pressure to Elisha, then the grace, see, grace is directly connected to God's agenda.
Yes, sir.
Grace is directly connected to God to be empowered. God is not going to empower you to do anything if it doesn't benefit his agenda. So you can be as anointed as you want.
Right.
You can have all the double portion of anointing that was on Elijah's life would have been ineffective if he had not Elijah's grace or Elijah's agenda or God's agenda that came through Elisha.
Yeah.
Secret of maturity.
Yes, sir.
Secret of maturity.
Yes, sir.
Secret of maturity is you're going to have to be connected to somebody that knows the agenda of God.
Yeah.
Joshua. Joshua, the third chapter. And the seventh verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Look at that. He said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Look at the fourth chapter. Now, God, we're going to see a shift now. We're going to see a shift that takes place. We're going to see when Joshua matured. We're going to see when Joshua matured. There's a shift taking place. God is doing something in these first five chapters.
Yes, sir.
He's doing something. He's maturing him.
Yeah.
Now, mind you now, he had already been serving Moses for a while. But his service to Moses didn't end when Moses died.
Right.
Because he really wasn't serving Moses.
Uh-huh.
He became aware of the agenda of God and he recognized, okay, this is what God doing. I want to be connected to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
Watch this. The fourth chapter and the 10th verse. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. Now here God is interchanged his will with the name Moses.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, why God is doing that? Because God made man.
Yeah.
God had already been had already dealt with man. And understood that man needs accountability.
Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
Why did God realize when man needed accountability? When he realized Adam couldn't handle all that power when he first gave it to him.
Yeah.
So God instituted a system beginning with Abraham of divine order. Jesus was the first one to use the term apostles.
Yeah.
And the reason why Jesus used the term apostles is because during that time, Jesus was very he used parables all the time to explain to his people. The reason why he used the word apostle at that time is because the Roman Empire would go out and conquer lands, and they would send out what's called apostles. The purpose of the apostles was to indoctrinate the people to the new kingdom.
Yeah.
So Jesus used the term apostles, but apostles been here.
Right. Come on, sir.
Abraham was an apostle.
Uh-huh.
Structuring divine order. Moses was an apostle, structuring divine order. What they were structuring divine order for? They were structuring divine order so that Jesus, who is the foundation, can get here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on, sir.
So if you want to see how important Abraham was, you got to look at Matthew, the first chapter. When you look at Matthew, the first chapter, read the first name and then read the last name. If the first name ain't do what he's supposed to do, the last name will still be trying to get you.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
Divine order, agenda of God. That's why we got to be living sacrifices. We can't do everything we want to do.
Right.
We have to yield our thoughts to God. So that, why are we yielding our thoughts to God? So that we won't be overtook or overtaken by mass mind.
Yeah.
That's what it means, being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if I keep using the word of God to renew my mind, it makes it easier for me to recognize when God is moving, where God is moving, and how God is moving.
Yes.
So I have to yield my thoughts to God. So when I yield my thoughts to God, I can recognize that, watch this. When I yield my thoughts to God, the first thing I will learn is that the agenda of God doesn't begin with me. Oh, come on. Come on. I don't care if you establish a new church in a new city that ain't never had Jesus there. The agenda of God did not begin with you. So you're going to have to find somebody that have been spending time with God, that have been accomplishing things with God, that is carrying the agenda of God in the earth realm. That's the only way you're going to find out what the agenda of God is. Because God ain't coming to no novice to tell his ultimate plans, because we just experienced when God give his plan to novices, it messes things up. Come on, man. Come on. I'm preaching better than you shouting on TV.
Yes, sir. Shout. Come on, doctor.
We have to have divine order. LTMA, we have to have divine order. If you want your church to grow spiritually, you're going to have divine order.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look at the 10th verse again one more time. In the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of Joshua, we see that Joshua is talking to the children of Israel, and he's only expounding on what he learned from Moses.
Yep.
In other words, he letting them know the agenda of God that he got from Moses.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, why is he doing that? Because that's what God told him to do.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, now God could have easily told Joshua everything he wanted done. He was there in person. He was there. He was talking. He was there. Joshua was in his presence.
Right.
Now watch this. Verse 14. Some things transpired. Some mighty things just transpired. And watch this. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Wow. We're about to see a shift. Yeah. In the fifth chapter, in the 13th verse. And it came to pass when Joshua, this was a test. See, God is going to test you before he takes you to the next level. Why? Because he can't let you be empowered with grace to a level for which you're not matured for. You may be anointed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But if your maturity is not ready, then you will stay on the level you're on with all that anointing. Look at this, look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and then he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Okay, watch this. Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord of the hosts am I now come. And Joshua fell upon his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So here it is. Joshua just told God, God just told Joshua in the first chapter that as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you.
Right, right.
Right?
Right.
So the question is, why would this angel show up to Joshua, knowing God talked to Joshua and say God was going to be with him. Mm-hmm. And then Joshua say, so Joshua, watch this. This is key. Sign of maturity. Joshua said, when the angel showed up, and Joshua said, who you with? You with us or you with the enemy? Uh-huh. The angel said, I'm with neither. I'm with the Lord. Watch this. You must never assume God is with you in what you are trying to accomplish. You must know God is with you.
Right.
But knowing God is with you is not good enough. Woo. You must know you are with God.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm going to say that again. We must never assume God is with us in what we are trying to accomplish. We must know God is with us. But knowing God is with you is not good enough. You must know you are with God. So Joshua had to make his own determination that I am going to be with God.
Yes, sir.
That's why the angel showed. That God was trying to see, are you going to use this newfound grace that I've given you? I've made you just as powerful in the eyes of the people as Moses was. Now, are you going to use this newfound grace for me or are you going to use it for yourself?
Yes, sir. Come on, doctor.
Are you going to use it for me or are you going to use it for yourself? That is a decision that we as ministers of the gospel have to make. When we get elevated to another grace, are we going to use this grace for God or are we going to use this grace for personal reasons?
Yeah.
Are we going to try to redirect the agenda of God? The reason why God knew Joshua was going to pass that test is because Joshua 1:7-8.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So the secret to maturity is connection.
Yes, sir.
If you ain't connected, you ain't growing.
Yeah. Right.
If you ain't, you may be on here and you may not be a part of LTMA, but you got to be connected to somebody. You got to be connected. You're going to get these people that are talking about, go to John, 1 John. 1 John. Uh-huh. 1 John. Yes, sir. 1 John. 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. Look at verse 20, because we like to take things out of context. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then we like to use this scripture. Go down to verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abided in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and his truth is no lie, and even it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. But the anointing which ye have received of him abided in you. Right? See, we're talking about anointing. We've taken anointing and tried to make it override grace. Because verse 26 is talking about grace.
Yeah.
The things I have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So that means there were some things that they didn't know that the anointing by itself wasn't going to take care of. It had to come with grace or an empowerment from God. So when you walk in a grace, whatever level you on, the anointing that is in you is going to teach you everything you need to be on that level.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope you.
Yes, sir.
Joshua never tried to do nothing outside of what God had called him to do. Why? Because God had assigned them to Moses, who embodied the agenda of God. It's not about Moses, but you got to respect Moses.
Right. 100%. 100%.
You don't waste your time with nobody that disrespects you.
That's good.
Somebody don't pay attention to what you say. Somebody that just want to be around you, drain your energy, waste your time, and still go do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Let's be truthful. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Every pastor got this person in their church. Somebody who always got problems, want to bring them to you, but don't want to listen to nothing you say. Don't want to apply nothing you say. You tired of dealing with that person, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
You tired of dealing with that person, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, why do you act the same way?
Come on, sir.
Tell it.
We see a shift take place. We see a shift take place. We see maturity happen in this fifth chapter. Where God comes in and say, okay, I know I'm with you. You know I'm with you. Now, are you going to take this newfound grace that I've given you and use it for me or use it for yourself? This is why Joshua kneeled, bowed down, took his shoes off. Because he was on holy ground. In other words, that was a representation. That was Joshua saying, I'm yielding my thoughts to you.
Yes, sir.
So no longer, watch this, no longer God needs to make reference to Moses.
Yes, sir.
Because now, watch this, because now you and Moses are one.
Yeah, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Because what Moses was standing for, I now know you're standing for.
Yeah,
same thing, yes, sir.
That's good.
So now let's go into the sixth chapter. Jericho was strictly shut up. None going in, none coming out. And God told Joshua to see. I've given you Jericho. And now Joshua has, watch this. Now Joshua is able to recognize God's instructions for the agenda. How are we going to get into this land? Because notice now, God didn't give that to Moses. How they were going to get in the land. He gave it to Joshua.
Yeah.
But how did God know he was going to trust Joshua to give it to him? Because he knew Joshua was about his agenda. Some of y'all now in pastors, your evangelists, your teachers, and your ministry is stuck. The reason why the ministry is stuck and ain't going nowhere, ain't showing no growth, is because you haven't yielded your thoughts to God's agenda. And the only way you're going to yield your God way to, it ain't about how much you pray.
Come on.
That's what y'all think. Y'all think because y'all spend so much time in the presence of God, you think God gonna bypass? If Jesus himself,
right. Come on.
told John the Baptist, the man who, the very man who knew no sin, who's going to die on the cross for us, the very man who's going to redeem us from the curse of the law. If he could tell John the Baptist, I need you to baptize me so we can fulfill all the law. That's divine order. If you think Jesus had divine, follow divine order, what makes you think you ain't going to follow it? Come on now, come with me. This is the reason why the body of Christ is facing darkness and has looked like darkness taking over.
Yep.
Because there's no continuity in the agenda of God. The agenda of God is not coming through the most popular person.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my... See, some of y'all think YouTube gonna build your ministry. Some of y'all think Twitter gonna build your ministry. Some of y'all think Instagram is gonna build your ministry. No, them things ain't gonna build your ministry because ministry was being built before any of those things were coming to pass.
Yes, sir.
Teachers.
Yes, sir.
You're gonna have to go back to the bare knuckle of things, and you're gonna have to find somebody that will jerk the slack out of you when it needs to be jerked out of you. Need to put in you what need to be put in you so that you can mature. The secret of maturity is connection.
Connection. Yes, sir.
You're gonna have to be a living sacrifice. You got to yield your thoughts to God.
Yep.
Why are we yielding our thoughts to God? So that we won't be consumed or overtaken by mass mind. That's why the church looks, I'll say it again, that's why the church looks like a club. That's why the church looks like the world. That's why the church looks like a coffee house. Because when you don't know the agenda of God, you got to make stuff up as you go. Joshua ain't had to make nothing up. Joshua ain't had to come out of his mind and come up with a great idea of how we gonna win people to body of Christ, how we gonna win people to Jesus Christ. God already know how you gonna win people to Christ. All you gotta do is yield yourself to God and your ministry will go, will grow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes.
But you're gonna have to find that, let me say this. You're gonna have to find that human being.
Yep.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're gonna have to find that human being that can hold you accountable. If you don't find that human being that's supposed to hold you accountable, all right, this is puzzling to me. You want people to be accountable to you. But you yourself have never been accountable and still ain't accountable. But yet you want God to send you people to be accountable to you. Wait a minute now. Look at this. You want God to send you people to be accountable to you. But you don't want to be accountable. No, you're a human.
Yep.
I'm a human.
Yep.
Right? I want people to be accountable to me, but I myself don't think I need to be accountable to anybody. This is, listen to me very carefully. LTMA, we got to get over this.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Listen. If you're a church in LTMA and you have not started a salvation campaign, what? Why are you here?
Yeah, right.
The Bible says God told Joshua, this book of the law, do what Moses said do. There was a reason because Moses, for us, now listen, go, all right, thank you. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. I'm closing here. 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. And I'm closing here. LTMA, we have got to get over this.
Yeah.
You know, I like the RV. And an RV is nice when you have a vehicle that you can tow. Or a vehicle that you can have behind you. Bring with you. Now, there are three different ways that you can tow a vehicle. You can tow a vehicle by hooking on a car trailer and drive the car up on it. All right. You can get what's called a dolly. You can put the front two wheels on it, strap it down, and let two wheels hit the ground. Then there's a way called dinghy tow, in which the vehicle simply pulls up behind it, and you hook up the arms off the RV to the vehicle, and the vehicle rolls on its own four wheels. I need you to locate yourself. As a minister, I need to locate yourself. Because the best way to tow a vehicle is dinghy tow.
Yes, sir.
It's the easiest to hook up.
Yeah.
The vehicle is in neutral, ain't carrying no extra weight
on
the RV. ain't making the RV work harder.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But some of y'all want to get an LTMA and you want a car trailer.
Yep, yep, yep.
You don't want to do no work. You don't want to spend no time with God. You don't want to listen to none of the apostle tapes.
Yep.
You don't, I can hear from God all by myself. Well, how that's working for you?
Yeah, yeah.
How that's working for you?
Yeah. Come on, sir.
So here's what you're telling me. See, I'm a firm believer in Galatians 6 and 7. I'm closing. After we read 1 Corinthians, I'm closing. 1 Corinthians, Galatians 6 and 7. I'm a firm believer in Galatians 6 and 7. It says God is not mocked.
Yep, yep, yep.
Right.
For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right?
Yes, sir.
So how is it you wanna sow dishonor? Or disconnection,
yeah.
Or you want to sow trouble,
yeah.
But you won't reap dingy towing. Where people just hook up to you and just follow, no problem. They shift to neutral. Mm-hmm. They're in neutral. Mm-hmm. See, when you see somebody with a trailer pulling a car on back of an RV, the first thing you realize is that car ain't made to be dingy towed.
Yes, sir. Right.
That car not designed to be dinghy towed. So the RV got to do extra work to get that person to come along.
Yes, sir.
Dolly towed is a person who half in. Mm-hmm. They kind of halfway in, but they still got the back wheels on the ground and they still won't put it in, throw the brakes on. Because in case the RV take me someplace I don't want to go, I can throw on brakes.
Yes, come
on.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But when you dinghy towing, the car is in neutral. And the brakes are operated from the RV.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The brakes are operated from the RV. See, when you connect to the agenda of God, you have to shift in neutral.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And watch this. If you can't shift in neutral connected to an RV, you need to get another RV.
Yeah.
If you can't trust the human being that you're supposed to be connected to, find you another one.
Yes, sir.
Because God ain't compromising for you.
Right.
He ain't compromising because you chose to be connected to a dishonest RV.
Yeah.
See, God is not going to compromise. Well, we just saw this. What happened in our country? God ain't compromising for us.
Right.
God ain't going to compromise. God may speak some, but if we don't do it, if we don't walk in his grace, God will say, okay, since y'all taking the show over, Israel did it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
God had everything lined up for Israel.
Yep.
Israel kept crying for a king.
Yeah.
Kept crying for a king. They had Samuel. With Samuel, God was working everything out. He was working everything out. But they kept crying for a king. God said, okay, Samuel, go ahead and give them their king. And tell them when they get this king going to take their sons, going to take their daughters, going to take their money, going to take their lands.
Yep.
So God didn't compromise with his chosen people, and he ain't compromised with his covenant people. Mm-hmm. He ain't compromising.
Yes,
either we going to do it the way he designed it to be done, or he going to wait till we get our minds right.
Yep.
I'm choosing to get my mind right.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to grasp this secret of maturity, become a living sacrifice, yield my thoughts to God so I can recognize when God is moving, right? And then I'm getting rid of my ego.
Yep.
I'm not going to allow my anointing to override my grace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
All right, 1 Corinthians is the ninth chapter. Watch this, we close here. The Apostle Paul was reading this to the Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul was not trying to chastise them or to correct them. He was trying to get them to make a choice for themselves.
Yeah.
He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I'm an apostle to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. So when God connects you, LTMA, I'm talking to you now, LTMA, and anybody who's watching who's not LTMA, you connected somewhere else, just listen, take the principle. If God called you here to LTMA and Apostle Thompson is your apostle, it doesn't matter what anybody else say.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Bless them.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm called to do. I'm only going to do what Moses said. Because me being able to see comes from me doing what Moses said do. Mm-hmm. Now, who told Joshua, now watch this, this key. Who told Joshua? Who told Joshua to do what Moses said do?
The Lord.
The Lord. So why would God connect you to somebody and you don't follow close? Okay, I see Apostle Thompson doing this different. I don't understand. Well, call. Ask him. Ask one of the MVBs. Why is Apostle doing that? We might not know. So that means we got to go ask.
Come on, come on.
And then we can come back and say, oh, now we understand why Apostle Thompson is doing this. This is why he's doing it. Oh, I understand. Now I need to implement this in my life, in my ministry, in my family.
Right.
Because I can't see until I'm doing what God instructed me to do. Now you understand why all your little ideas, all your little strategies, all your little you thought was God ideas, the ways that seemeth right, and you do things and you don't get no results. You know you're lacking power. The reason why you're lacking power is not because you don't have power, it's because you don't have grace to be on that level. So your power ain't gonna work on that level. Just like the seven sons of Sceva. Same thing. They didn't have the grace. So why are you going there mess with them demons? You wasn't graced to mess with them demons. You ain't graced to do. So this is why the body of Christ has to be in order. God is not compromising with us. He is not changing the way he do things for us. God has eternity to wait till we get our minds right. I choose to get my mind right. I choose. I choose. You ain't got to choose, but I choose. It has to be a personal decision. It can't be you looking to the left and seeing what your brother and sister is doing. It can't be you over here. What you think about that? What I think about it? What you mean what I think about it? What did the apostle say? If you can't have that type of mentality, then why are you connected? You never should be connected to somebody you can't trust. What's the use? Chantel is not going to stay with me if I'm always lying to her. If I'm always unaccountable. If she can't call me and know where I'm going to be. Man, that is, boy, that will drive you up the wall.
Yes, sir.
If I can't trust my leader.
Right.
So if you can't trust your leader, find one that you can trust. Yep. One time we bought an RV, Apostle bought an RV, and man, it was beautiful. Beautiful. The engine was, everything was beautiful. Man, we pull off the lot and made a right turn, and one of the slides came out on his own. He said, oh my God. What in the world? You have to take time to check out. You got to check out these ministries you say you connected to. You have to check them out. Sit there for a while. Quiet. Show up. Don't just make a phone call looking for a facial audience.
Right.
Looking for a flesh connection. Go sit in the meetings. See what they're talking about. Can you feel the presence in the place? Can you recognize God is doing here? Are they doing something different? Or are they just like mass mind? They look just like every other church out there. Go into the meeting. Sit there for a little while. Don't get excited. Stop looking for FaceTime.
Yeah.
Stop looking for flesh connection.
Yep.
Sit in the meeting. See what God's saying.
Yep.
Do you know in Numbers the 11th chapter, God told Moses to go find some elders. It said Moses went out and found. He didn't choose from the popular. He went out and found. Why? Because there are people that are out there that are paying attention. You need to be one of the out, away from the crowd.
Yeah.
Listening in, not getting no flesh connection, not wanting no FaceTime. I'm sitting in a meeting. I'm sowing in a meeting. I'm seeing what God is saying. I'm taking back and applying what God, what I hear God say. So that God will know, not only he knows that he's with you, but he'll know that you are with him. Apostle, I don't know if you want to say anything? You good? All right, sir. Maybe sit down. Let's receive the offer for this morning. I want you to text the word SOW, S-O-W, to 225-230-2234, or you can go directly online to eiwm.org/give. Now, for those of you out there maybe watching, you want to know, how can I be a part of LTMA? It's not no form you can download online. It's not some website you can go to. You have to call. You have to call the office, 225. I know I'm giving two different numbers in the back. 225-473-8874. And when the receptionist pick up, you tell them, I want information about LTMA. Now, in LTMA, you're going to have to fill out an application. We got to know where you come. Here's why. We're not looking for growth numerically. We're looking for growth spiritually. You have to call to get an application. There's an application, and then that's not it. There's an interview process. It's an interview process that you have to go through so that you'll know some things that will be required of you. See, before you go further through the process, you need to make sure this is what you really want. I had one guy want to join the LTMA, and I explained to him all what was happening. And when I told him I had to go through the interview process, oh, I don't want all that. Well, that's fine. That's good. No problem. Because everybody has their free choice. But the one thing LTMA is about is the agenda of God. Right. The agenda of God. There are going to be some things that you're going to find in an interview that will be required of you. And we're going to tell you what in LTMA we will do for you. So that everybody will be on the same page. So that growth and maturity can take place. So you'll understand that when Apostle Thompson gives us instructions, we follow.
Yes, sir.
See, so if you want to know about LTMA, you're just not going to get in. It's just not paying a fee and you get in. That's not how it's going to work. Go talk to God and say, God, is this for me? Go talk to God. Say, God, is this for me? Is this where you want me? Because according to what we learned, if God didn't tell Joshua, then you won't stick. If God didn't tell you, you won't stick. Why you won't stick? Because there's going to be some ducking and some dodging and some pulling and some yanking. And some sacrifices going to have to be made. And some lessons that's going to have to be learned. And some changes that are going to have to be made. I'm changing every day. But what you don't realize is I'm maturing every day.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's finish the offering. 225-230-2234. Text the word SOW. Or you can go directly online to eiwm.org/give. Father, thank you so much for what you've imparted to us this morning, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for giving us divine order. Holy Spirit, help us to make whatever adjustments we need to make, whatever decisions we need to make. Help us to make those decisions, make those adjustments. God, thank you for giving us these seeds. Thank you for showing us the ground to sow it in. And God, thank you for being the Lord of the harvest. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.